Episode of River City 93. I'm your host, as always, Elliot Barr, and is joining me are two guys that had a good time at City Stadium and probably enjoyed Jalen Chris for scoring goals. It's Matt and Shanier. How are you doing, guys?
Doing all right. Happy with the performance of the team so far. With these past two games.
It's not a bad way to start.
Yeah.
Especially after the May we had. Things got a little concerned there for a second.
Is it just me, or is May always a rough patch for the kickers?
Yeah.
That might be you.
Yeah.
Because I remember last year, May was rough. With Bulow, May was rough.
No, that was Bulow's June that was rough.
No pride raiser and no goals all month.
No goals. Seven games without a goal scored. And we had to change it to saves. By the way, happy Pride Month to all those that participate and all those that are, part of the LGBTQ plus community. You know, we love y'all. We're here for y'all. Before we get started, guys, I'm going to first start you guys off with this question. Will you guys be participating in Hoochie Daddy season? Wearing the shorts, above the knee shorts. Shanier, based on your facial expression, I can see that as a no.
I mean, I feel like aren't most shorts above the knee again these days anyway? Yeah, that's been the style for like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, but you still got some that are like right on the knee. And then you got some that are a little bit below the knee.
Are you talking like John Stockton style, or are you talking just like...
No. I don't think any of us has the thigh power to pull off John Stockton style. I'm talking about like right above the knee. Show a little thigh, you know, for those brunch Sundays.
The only time I'm wearing shorts above the knee is when I'm playing soccer.
So always?
No, when I'm actually playing, like put on shorts to play, like to go and play a game. I'm not... If I'm just for casual dress, civilian wear, no. Not my style.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, look, I will be participating in a short season because in 3 weeks, I'll be done teaching. And I will be chilling. Yeah, my principal asked me like this week, he was like, hey, are you going to do summer school? I looked at that man and was like, no, absolutely not. I will be going into a coma. I will be off the grid. Like, I'm not doing summer school.
Radio silence.
100%. But, you know, I'll still have time to do the podcast, especially after the kind of week we just had with, what was it? We started off Wednesday with a 3-0 win against Chattanooga, a 2-2 draw against South Georgia Tormenta. Let's start off with the Chattanooga game with some interesting things there to look at. First of all, Sam, you had a replacement right back. Neil didn't start, and I'm trying to think. Is there anyone else that I'm missing?
You mean Simon started at left back for Stu, not at right back.
Right, absolutely, you're right. And then Neil didn't start. Ethan came in, and I'm not gonna lie, like it looked really well. Like that lineup looked really fun.
I mean, you missed the other, I think, somewhat big piece there of Bologna's back in starting lineup.
You're right. Oh, you're right. Our friend, Jonathan Bolognese, who probably was, I hate to say it, out of these two games, he deserved a goal.
Yeah.
But he came back and he looked every part of it. And I think I tweeted it out on Tuesday or maybe the day of the game about, like, with the Bolognese not in the lineup, like, the kickers offensively just haven't looked the same. And he proved me right because with him inserted, exactly. Like, he looked every part of it.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely provides that direct. Not that we weren't playing direct, you know, with Owane or Bentley or anybody else over there, but Blanich, I think, is a little more direct, than some of them, and he's doesn't look like he's lost a step in his recovery time.
Yeah, no, has not at all. And I mean, he's looked wonderful out there. I think in the Chattanooga game, he had what, 4 out of 5 successful dribbles, 2 out of 4 long balls. 2 of his 3 shots went directly on target. He had 5 recoveries, won 5 out of his 9 duels, and won 1 aerial duel. Like, that's a big game for him.
Yeah. I mean, I think between the 2 games, if you ask him, he'd probably say he probably should have been on the score sheet himself at least once. But
oh, yeah. The South Georgia game, 100% he should have been on the score sheet. With the one where he cut it in on the right, he just dribbled forever. Yeah, he should have definitely been on the score sheet.
Yeah.
Should have definitely been. But I do want to start off with this, guys. Looking at this lineup, I think that first half from Richmond is probably – okay, I'll say it like this. This game is probably Darren's best coach game of the year thus far, and is also probably the Kickers' best game of soccer thus far this season.
You think it's better than Tucson?
I do, because it's the opponent, the circumstance in which it comes against, and just how the goals are scored. Because, like, I think we talked about it at the game about Tucson. Like, every team in this league is close. Like, there's not a lot separating these teams. But Tucson probably has the weakest overall roster build out of anyone in USL League One. Chattanooga, we all know, has owned us. Previous to this game, they won 7 out of the 9 matchups. We remember all the game, like the game last year that we played, where we got physically dominated for the first half and couldn't do anything. And we've had little win, like we had 1 win last year against them, but it's still been like Chattanooga has been dominant in the series. And this game, seriously, like I remember I turned to you, man. I was like, "What is going on? Like, how are we up 3-0 at home against Chattanooga?" And then in the second half, like, I was expecting the Kickers just to sit back and try to soak up pressure, and they didn't do any of that. Like, Akira did not get touched that night. He had 2 saves, and both of them were, like, right to his chest, just hold him.
Goalie training saves, basically.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I think this is probably Darren's best game and the Kickers' best performance of the season thus far.
Yeah.
I think that was their best performance. But we also need to look at the fact that apart from the back four, if you look at the lineup, there's only 1 defensive player out of the remaining 6. And that's Zaka. Everyone else is an attacking player. Baima, Bryant, Candela, Bolaños, Terzaghi. Those are attacking players.
Now, I don't know if I put Vin as an attacking player. Like, I think he's, you know, a lot more of a Dakota.
I put him as a box to box.
I wouldn't put him in the Dakota range. I would put him more. He's closer to an Ethan Bryant center mid than he is a Dakota center mid. I mean, when you look at his moment with the Kickers, they're on the attacking side. When you look at a lot of what he brings to the attack is more than what he brings to the defense.
I mean, I don't want to derail the overall point of our attack. Good.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I normally don't like Ethan Bryant on the wing, but he definitely
had. To be honest with you, he didn't even play on the wing. Like, all of his. So this is one thing I asked Darren after the game, was like, we saw a lot of tactical flexibility of like how they defend. It would be a 4-4-2 with Terzaghi and Ethan up front, and then when they kind of go into attack, it would kind of be, how can I describe this? Like, Ethan would become the attacking mid, Terzaghi would become the striker, Baima will go out to the wing. And this is how we know 100% he cannot use his right foot. That boy is 100% left footed.
Oh, Baima?
The left foot, huh? The right foot is just there for balance. That's it. And Bolaños on left. And like, I don't know. I'm pretty sure you guys were watching the game and started noticing the trend of every time like Baima would come in, he would just look to just cut that ball with his left, like over the top to Bolaños. But I gotta say, man, like, it seems like when the Kickers commit to being offensive and not just being the team that want to stick in, they can go with any team in this league. Darren just has to believe it.
Yeah. And I understand that there are certain games against certain opposition, or when the team is in a certain level of fitness, basically probably they had a busy week. They had several games, whatever. You may change things up. You may slow things down, bring in a more defensive midfielder. But I do feel with the personnel that we have, this looks like a team that can shred anybody.
Yeah.
And and I think when you see situations where we play more defensive, we try and play more of the hit and hope long balls, where we you know, try and just say, oh, we scored one, let's just sit back. I feel that we're being robbed of what the kickers can actually do.
I think the thing there is, you know, we saw it in some of the first half against Chattanooga. We saw it various times against, you know, Tormenta. Good kickers, it could be very good and possibly the best team in the league. I don't think this team is capable of keeping that up for a sustained amount of time yet.
Yeah,
yeah, they're good for, you know, 10-minute flashes, you know, here or there. But I don't know why it is, but they haven't been able to show to be able to keep that up for extended periods of time.
Outside of this game, outside of this Chattanooga game, you're right. They have not been able to sustain it. Let's real quick, let's talk about these goals, because they're all really good goals.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Remember last week how we were, you know, just complaining about, you know, giving up, you know, headed goals, and why are we not winning these balls?
Right. Wow. And now we're on the other side of the argument. first of all, guys, I love Neil, but I want to see Ethan Bryan do crosses just because he's been successful the last few times he took them. Both of these headed goals came off of Ethan's foot. Ani got the first one. Jalen Chris got the second one. Yeah. They were both really good goals.
Like 2 minutes apart, too.
Yeah.
2 to 3 minutes apart. These three goals, all three of them were top shelf goals, all three. Ani running towards the ball away from goal, facing away from goal to redirect that ball towards goal. That was class. Chrysler, to literally look almost like Ronaldo for Juve on a corner kick header. Like, he rose above the man marking him.
I mean,
like, it looked like that dude didn't even jump. It was a little bit.
I prefer looking at Chris Cole scoring against Forward last year.
Yeah. You said what?
I don't like comparing him to that guy. Let's compare him to Chris Cole heading in that goal against Forward last year, almost the exact same spot.
I ain't gonna lie, man. That Chris Cole goal.
Not
that's, I don't know why that's a tweet. It's still hilarious because he never celebrated afterwards. Like, he was just like, I do this.
No, what that reminded me of was the surprise of seeing somebody show that they have ups that you did not expect that they had ups. Not only that, Chrysler sold hang time. That reminded me of Braden Troyer. You remember that goal Braden Troyer scored his last season with us?
Well, which, there's only one. So, yeah.
Which, by the way, Braden 30 on the top greatest kickers list of all time. So, be on the lookout for that list. Yeah. Matt has done a wonderful job. I just looked at the list. There's some shockers on there. I ain't gonna lie to you, but it's a good list. It's a very good list. So you have both of those headed goals, and I think both of those, like, I think Darren and the Posey talked about how this is one thing I'll give Darren for. He's very good at designing these set pieces. Like, they're almost like, I gotta describe it. It's almost like in the NFL when you have, like, design plays. Like, I think that's the level of detail Darren puts into these set pieces. Because you can see it, like, anytime we're, like, in the opposition's 18-yard box, I'll just say, like, a zone, you know it's going to be a long throw-in, but it's always, like, a design thing. Like, it's not just random people just standing in random spots. It's very much like we have a design of what you want to do. And both of these set pieces, both of that design work. But I think the goal that absolutely should win goal of the week, and if it doesn't, I'm calling conspiracy, is Leo's goal. Like, for him to just hit that and the curve it took over the goalkeeper. Oh, it's top class.
I mean, if you like that sort of thing.
What do you mean you like that? I love that sort of thing. Also, the goal celebration was 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10, that goal celebration was spicy.
No, it was great. You know, as you made reference to earlier, you know, picking the ball up, you know, wide right, and nobody in the world thought he was actually going to go down, you know, the sideline and cross that. You know,
we all do.
I don't think we knew that that ball was going to, you know, get lasered in, you know, upper 90 though.
No. Which is so funny because if you go back and look at the highlights, you can see Stephen Payne like in the corner, like showing like pass the ball, and then Leo just shoots. He's like, oh, okay. I was like, Steph, you got to know he's not passing that ball. That right foot is there for balance only. He's not
bad. Look, not only is that goal going to win for goal of the week, it also ended the career of a good old tour in goal for Chattanooga.
It definitely did. Like, absolutely. I don't want to say Jimmy threw in the towel, but he kind of did, man. Like, anytime you take off a goalkeeper at halftime, unless it's an injury, I kind of think you're just like, all right, I got this wrong.
Yeah, I mean, how do you come back from that? If you're the backup to begin with, and then you yanked at halftime.
Right. Like, and then also on top of that, like, their goalkeeper saved it from being 5-0. Because Gordon, as much as I love him, he could have swore that ball to Luke. Luke could have scored.
Yeah.
He could have scored it to Luke. And Luke could have scored, man.
Yeah, that's why, if you take the shot, you better finish it. Otherwise,
right? You got to finish that. You got to put that in, man.
You look like the dick then.
Right. You got to finish that. Get the assist. Call it a day. Let Luke get his goal. Let him feel good. It would have been great. Especially for Luke. It would have been great. I think the biggest other talking point about this game is the fact that Akira had nothing to do in this game. Like I said before, he only had 2 saves. Really didn't face any dangerous chances. And I think this is just about how well the midfield did just passing the ball. Like, they didn't look at a rush. They were playing quick, but they didn't, like, rush it. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was a good, controlled, professional game. I mean, how many times have we talked about we just want a game where we don't have to stress in the stands?
Yeah, right? It was this game.
Yeah, this is it. Like, you know, even when Chattanooga brought, you know all their starters in off the bench, because they did play a rotated squad, to be fair. And as we let all the guys warming up know, they don't got anything to worry about. Their spot's safe.
Yeah. Like you're fine. You're not losing. You know, like I told the Chattanooga goalkeeper, Alves, I was like, you know he sucks, right? You know you guarded it in the second half.
Yeah, I was chirping him too. And you could tell he was trying not to smile.
He was. He was trying his absolute hardest not to smile. I was like, dude, this is your job. Like, you're not losing this.
But yeah, whether it's a starting team, whether it's after halftime when guys like Neil came in, subbed in Bolduc, subbed in Pavone, everybody knew what they needed to be able to do. And second half, there wasn't a lot of excitement going on other than that Owain run and not assist. But that was okay. I think the guys knew that there was another game coming up on Saturday. You don't want to completely gas yourself out. You want to play reasonable. And Darren subs, were mindful of that as well, trying to give everybody some balancing. Emmy actually came out of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, we were calling that. I forgot. When did he come out? Let's see.
I think it was like 65.
73rd, 75th minute. So that was fine, Yeah. That's not bad at all.
Yeah, nice professional finish. Earlier.
Yeah. I would have pulled him earlier. But I mean, it's a good wrap up on that game. It's good to kind of get that monkey off. Do you think the monkey's off the back of Richmond when it comes to play against Chattanooga, or do you think this is just like a one time of thing?
I think this team knew they can beat Chattanooga and Richmond. The real issue is playing in Chattanooga, at their place. That's where things find a way to fall apart there and Cary. Are the two House of Horrors. I think we pulled things, pulled things out and everywhere else in the league that that we've played at least, so far.
Yeah. I think those are the only two places we haven't won at yet. We
haven't won at Tucson yet.
Oh no, you're right. We haven't. Yeah, those three. Dang. Yeah.
And obviously, we haven't gone to Fresno. We haven't gone to Northern Colorado. So
Well, we got a chance to get that Tucson one off our back soon. So we'll see. We'll definitely see with that one. But we'll go ahead. We'll move on. South Georgia Tormenta. going into this game, I don't know what it was, but I wasn't as nervous. Like, I guess I was kind of like expecting a draw just because both teams really seem to marry each other. Not in the way how they play, but just like matchup-wise. Like, it doesn't seem like there's a clear advantage over one team over the other, and that tells in the results. Like, two wins for both teams, and the yesterday result, four draws apiece. You kind of think I'm right in that, or you think it's something different?
I don't think it's that simplistic, necessarily. I was disappointed with the draw, to be quite honest. Tormenta, they started strong, but they've been kind of falling apart recently. Mm-hmm. So I thought I saw an opportunity to be able to I guess they're not a duck, kill a wounded bird, I guess is the better pun to go with. Because
kill a mockingbird, that's what we should call it.
Yeah. Yeah. But they were missing Bosua up top, their best forward. So there's an opportunity there to be able to not have to deal with him. They had to use two first half injury subs. That probably something that you wish you could take better advantage of. I know we've come back from losing positions to get points, and it's going to happen the other way around to us. But that's two out of three games where the team got a lead and wasn't able to close out a win, and that isn't a great sign for me.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And I think I changed my thought on this. Like, I had an issue at first with Darren's subs. I don't have an issue with the subs. I just have an issue at the time of which they happen. Like, I still think you can do the same subs, but I think if you bring Dakota in 65th, 70th minute, that's better than just doing it right out of halftime, Because at halftime, kickers were going in with all the momentum.
I don't necessarily mind making a change at halftime. I think so at halftime, he took who did he pull off? He pulled off.
He took Ima off and put Gordon on. He took Dakota off for Ethan.
Other way around, yeah.
Other way around. Okay.
Because I thought Ethan was doing a really good job in the midfield. Him and Neil together being able to help control the ball, and I think. I don't know if it's just him or if it's losing a little bit of what Bynum can be able to give in possessing the ball, because Gordon's more of a stretch the field guy than a possession guy, it seems like. But that first 20 minutes of the second half, pretty much all the way up to when Tormenta scored, kickers couldn't get out of their own end.
No, they couldn't. And I think the substitutes kind of recognize that. Like I said, I don't have a problem with the substitutes. I just have a problem with the timing, just because of the kickers were dominating the game, and you took off the bottom one. I can understand, because if you got Bolaños and you got Gordon, they can stretch the field. They can get it behind Tormenta's defense. It's just the creative part in the midfield that I have the issue with. Because if you keep Ethan out there, you still have another creative force besides Neil. And when Neil's asked to be the sole creating force, I think this team struggles with that. So I think having two of them out there, I think they do really well. And then I think at the very end part of the game, he brought on Candela on and took Neil off, and we're trying to press to go win this game. But you're trying to press to go win this game with three essentially defensive midfielders, if you want to call what it is, like two defensive midfielders and a center mid.
Mm-hmm.
The chances of us scoring a goal there is pretty slim.
Which still almost happened, though, but
right, it still almost happened. But still.
Maybe we should go back and talk about the goals that actually did happen instead of the ones that didn't happen.
Right, right. coming into this game, we actually did have a little bit lineup change regarding for Wednesday. So Richie came back in. He got to start. Neil came back in as well. Front three, so the same with Bolaños, Terzaghi, and Bolaños. And it was pretty much like the same thing they kind of did against Chattanooga, just with a little different. Of you still got Bima, who's trying to cut in on that, cut it from the right, cross it over to the left. Bolaños is trying to stretch the field. But you also then have Neil and Ethan trying to be a little bit more creative in the midfield and try to hold onto the ball, which worked well the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, first 10 minutes is great.
Yeah, great. Did have a shot on goal, but it was great.
Right, and that was one thing I kind of noticed early on. The Kickers were controlling an overwhelming amount of the possession. Weren't getting many shots, and the little bit of time where Tormenta would get the ball, they get their shots off. They weren't necessarily great shots, but they would actually make Akira have to do something, and we weren't necessarily doing that to Hara early on. But yeah, early, that first 10, 15 minutes, I feel like Bolaños and Richie were able to combine and do whatever they wanted on that left side.
Yeah, absolutely. They were able to do everything they wanted to do, and they were able to create, do things. And then the first goal was, I'm not going to lie, was against the run of play. I want to blame Okira for it just because it was a bad kick out from him. Because if I'm looking at the replay right, like it goes over the head of both Neil and Stu. Like it outplays them. It just lands right at the Tormenta player. He's just able to play one ball that kind of cuts out like three players.
It's a little bit of that. I mean, the discourse kind of reminds me of the people who want to put that goal the U.S. gave up against Canada on Matt Turner, where the goal kick in that case fell short. I think this one went a little bit long, compared to where he wanted it to go. And I can understand some of that, but there's still how many guys in between the ball and the goal at that point, and
that's very
to be able to stop things and go with it. So yeah, I mean. Yeah, I think throughout the game, Akira's distribution was probably a little looser than we would normally expect, out of him. Probably wasn't his best game with the ball at his feet, but that's just a piece of the puzzle of what went wrong in that goal.
Yeah, and I mean, also, like, I think both of these Tormenta goals sometimes is, like, there's not the – you can try to defend as best you can, and just they just get luck. Because if you look at Sterling, like, he does, like – I hope I get the skill move right. Like a Travello on the ball, and he kind of just kicks it behind him to where Sharif, he just one times it into the bottom left corner.
Yeah. Well, I think the issue came before that and that happened, though, because you mentioned that playing that long ball. I don't remember which Tormenta guy it was that won the header, but he was able to put right over top of both Neil and Stu, who were probably a little too close together. At that point, and I think it was Kingsford that he was able to get on the ball with just tons of space to run.
Yo, okay, so you're absolutely right. But I want to say this, man, and seeing Kingsford in person, homeboy can dribble. But, I made the analogy to you, Shanir, when we were watching the game, and you were asking, like, why is Tormenta able to just hold onto the ball like this? I literally told you, like, they just play ISO ball. Like, only they're trying to do is pull out. Like, they're trying to just make a lot of passes, a lot of dribbles, just to pull defenders out of place and just get in behind you. Because Kingsford isn't looking to shoot at all. He's looking literally to, like, all right, if I go dribble, how many defenders can I pull? And I, at the last second, I can just chip this ball over the back line,
Yeah. Yeah. I think the analogy you use, you said the OKC team.
With Westbrook, Harden. Yeah, and, like, literally, that's their front three.
It's basically just ISO ball and then pass you to death till they get you.
Yeah. What have any of those guys ever won?
Well, hold on. Durant got two championships.
Yeah, glory chasing.
Look, you can call it glory chasing. At the end of the day, the man got two rings. Okay? I would defend KD. Yeah. KD and Clay are my two rings.
Fairness, you mentioned specifically Russ and Harden.
Okay, that's true. Russ is, I don't know if y'all kept up with NBA, but Russ is looking bad, man. Like, Russ is going out bad.
So is Harden.
I mean, we all, like, it would not surprise me in like 15 years if I hear Harden open up a string of strip clubs. Just how based on how long he's been staying in them. It wouldn't surprise me.
Really, the main feature of all of them is just the buffet.
Yeah. That's it. That's the only feature in there. The strip club is like the size of a quarter, and the only thing in there is just a buffet.
Oh, God.
Anyway. Yeah. Tormenta likes to dribble, maybe not pass as much or anything, but they love themselves a dribble.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
And that's the other part I was making to Houston there. Like, I think this Tormenta team is a lot different from Tormenta teams in the past where they rely heavily on Marco Micheletto to be the creator and the scorer. They don't have a necessary creator on this team, but they have, like, how can I say it? Like, they have a lot of guys that are very skillful, like, very. It's a certain word I'm looking for, and I can't find it right now. But they're very, like, they can do a whole bunch of tricks and stuff. But can they you know, if you don't give them an opportunity to score, then they're not, you know, if you play good defense in front of them, they're not going to create anything to be too dangerous.
Basically, like, late 90s, early 2000 Brazilian Danielson.
I guess. I guess.
the guy who would come down the left flank, do like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 step overs and scissors, and then get past their defender and create nothing.
Is that the guy that did all the seals dribbles?
No. All the what?
No, you're talking about it. Danielson, one time most expensive player in the world.
Yeah.
The more you know. Didn't know. Yes. All right. So, yeah, I think that was the thing. I mean, I will say this. Outside of the two goals, the kickers did really good of cutting out a lot of those chances from Tormenta. They had 22 total shots not on target, 22 shots in total, 6 on target. They did really good of cutting out some of those dangerous chances. But I think the goals that Richmond scored, they're really good goals. I'm really happy that Bologna's got an assist on this. Yeah. Because I'm not going to lie to you, I honestly thought Trezaghi scored the goal. He did not. It was Stu Richie, which, by the way, then boggles my mind is how he missed the chance in the second half.
Well, let's focus on the goal.
Okay, we'll focus on the goal. It was a good cutback from Bolaños. A very good cutback from Bolaños to find Stu Richie, who just one-timed it into the back of the net, plus Pablo Aro.
One thing that confused me the most about this goal was what? Were the Tormenta defenders complaining about
flying through the air? I think they were trying to argue that Bolaños went out, but you can obviously tell he didn't go out.
He was nowhere near out of bounds. Yeah. What is it? What? Okay, all right. Because that was the one thing that baffled me. I'm seeing they're going over to the AR like yelling and screaming, and I'm like. Yeah, Terzaghi may have been offside, but the ball didn't go anywhere near him. Like, what? So I was confused. I was confused for a second there.
I think, Matt, once again, to your point again, man, like, it's good to see other people finishing their chances, and, you know, we're getting more diverse scoring outside of just Terzaghi.
Yeah, and hopefully that's going to open up space for him, you know, in the upcoming games now that opposing, you know, teams are seeing that, all right, you can't just key in 3 guys on Emmy and we're lost. You know, now these last 2 games, 4 goals from the back line,
right.
You know, combined. We got a goal from a winger / midfielder, however you want to categorize Leo in his role, because, you know, he's definitely a different winger than a Bolaños or a Gordon. Or a Boldic type winger.
He's a creator. That's what he is. He's a creator.
Yeah. So being able to get again that diversification should keep defenses a little more honest, which can only be a good thing. But yeah, it builds upon what we were talking about earlier. You know, Bolaños and Richie really combining well on that left side, getting into the attack. You know, I can't think of how many times one played the other. In behind into space, during the course of the game. And that goal reminded me a lot of a couple other, opportunities that Stu had earlier in the season that got blocked or he just missed along the way. So, it looks like that might be something that they're purposely working on in training and came to pass.
Yeah. Yeah, really true. It really did. And also, I think this is the first time, I want to say in a long time, maybe like, I'm having a hard time remembering. When's the last time we had a goal scored by a fullback? I think he might have been USL Championship days, guys. I think it's been a long time.
Calvo didn't score last year.
Calvo didn't do nothing offensively. We already figured that out.
Why are you still so hot about that man?
Because that man played every game and offered nothing offensive. That man didn't have an assist. Nothing. Nothing.
He was a defensive fullback.
And much as that man got up to field, that man ain't authored nothing. Nada. Not a god thing.
Yeah, thinking back, I might be forgetting somebody. I'm guessing it was probably Scott Thompson.
Maybe. I'm trying to think. When Troy scored, was he playing fullback then or defensive mid?
He was moved around so much that year.
I know. He was. That's a good question.
I think he was probably defensive mid at that point in the year, but I don't really know.
He might have been. All right. But obviously.
Anyway, point stands. You know, we're getting
it's been a while since we had a fullback score a goal. Hey, look. And Stewie's been coming for this goal because you remember the Open Cup game against, I think it was Fusion. He came close to scoring that rocket that hit up against the crossbar.
Oh, he's had a couple this year that have come really close.
Yeah, so it's good to see that he can score, man. That's really good to see. And then, of course, you know, you have the second goal, which, by the way, who do you think is more hype on this goal? Do you think it's Jalen getting his second goal in back-to-back games, or you think it's Ani having the goal and the assist, which was a pretty good assist?
I mean, just based off of personalities, I say Ani, because I think Jalen's a little bit more of a, you know, reserved kind of guy. I think Ani's a lot more outwardly emotional, you know, it is. So from what we can see, you know, Ani seems like the obvious answer. But, yeah, I mean, who doesn't love a 6'5 guy crossing a 6'5 guy for a goal?
Right. And it was a beautiful header by Jalen to put it in the back of the net. I think, and once again, it goes to that point that we were talking about how Darren kind of designs these set pieces and plays. And because you can see it, like, Ani throws his ball to Dzagi. Dzagi kind of chest passes it back to Ani. And Ani crosses it in to Jalen. And I don't know what Tormenta was doing because I don't understand how you leave that 6'5 guy wide open. And he runs, like, it's not like he's at the near post. He's running across the box diagonally, and no one picks him up.
Yeah. It's not like Tormenta doesn't have some big hosses of their own back there either.
Right.
Exactly.
Like, that's the crazy part about this.
And to be honest with you, I think Jaro was thinking the exact same thing because he was livid with his back line
he was
on that goal. He was I'm pretty sure he was cussing them out.
He was definitely pissed. Definitely pissed about that. Definitely not happy about that. But I think, like, the rest of the half, like, we were talking about, I feel fine. Like, I was like, I want to see another goal happen in the second half so I can feel more secure about this result because I think up 3-1 against Tormenta. I don't see Tormenta scoring two goals to get back into it, but that wasn't the case in the second half. Shanair, you missed it because you were out, but I think me and Matt, we're kind of on the same page of, like, we don't have a problem with the subs that Darren did. We just have an issue of when the subs took place. Because to me, it just seemed as if it just – like, you got Tormenta on the back foot. They had the two subs in the first half, both injury subs. The fullback was – I feel so bad for the fullback, man. He subbed out 2 minutes in. Yeah. I felt bad for him, man. And then Sharif, who scored against us, got subbed out as well. Late in the half. It just felt like Tormenta was on their back half. You know, and what Ethan was doing, what Neil was doing, and with Bama, it just seemed as if, like, all right, we're picking up where we left off with Chattanooga. We're controlling the midfield. And then Darren goes in there, he puts on Dakota, makes it 2 sixes. And it just seems like we kind of just sat back a little bit more, you know, kind of was trying to play more counter. And I think Darren overthought it. What you guys
and that was the reason why in the second half you saw we for a long chunk of the half, we barely got out of our own half. Mm-hmm. And that comes from that substitution of taking that creative playmaker of that creative midfielder of Bryant off to put on Dakota, who is basically going to sit with Zaka in front of the back four and protect. You're basically inviting Tormenta to come forward. And I think that's basically what happened. Tormenta was literally invited to come forward. The substitution basically told them, come at me, throw your punches. We're just going to try and weather the storm. Yeah. And I think if those subs come a little later in the half, we're looking at a different situation.
Yeah. Luke, any thoughts for you, Matt?
I mean, we already talked about it once. I do think Bima coming off is probably a bigger loss for us than we initially realized, because he's not going to run much, at all, but he'll hold the ball. He'll be in the right place to be able to receive it. And just like Emmy, will eat clock for us by, taking some fouls. I think Bima has that, ability too, and being able to, make sure that, all right, let's hold the ball. Let's get reset, rather than have it just be a complete return to sender type of situation. Because, as great as, a Bolaños and Gordon combination is, it becomes really one dimensional in how we can attack. It's pretty much all long ball at that point. And, they get on the end of their fair share, but their fair share is still a significantly smaller percentage.
Yeah. Like a lot of the balls that went to Jenner, like I was telling you, like a lot of the balls that go to Gordon, like you can't ping it to him when he breaking down, like his first set, like how Bolaños and Bama can do. Like, if you're going to ping it to him, you got to ping it to him with, like, yards.
You got to ping it to the space in front. Exactly. So he can just, chase him down. Another situation that I noticed in the second half, and I don't know if this was intentional or if it was something that was planned or whatnot, but we were missing out on a lot of cross finishes because there was nobody hovering around the far post. We had a lot of situations where O'Gordon would come down the wing with the ball, maybe lay it back to Richie, and Richie crosses the ball in. It either gets tipped over by a header or something, and it continues over, and there is nobody at the far post. And it's like, and at that point, Matt Bolduc is the one who's playing right wing, and he's somewhere inside at the top of the 18. And sometimes it was the same thing the other way around. Matt Bolduc would come down the wing, cross the ball in, it would get tipped over, and then O'Gordon is somewhere doing God knows what further back. And it's like, where's the guy at the back door? And that was a situation. I feel like we missed a lot of opportunities because there was nobody marking far post, or at least getting far post to be in that space in case something went down.
I just love how both you guys have turned him into an Irish dude.
What?
We have.
You just combined his two names into one and turned him into O'Gordon.
Well, it definitely should be O'Gordon, because in the last two games, he has literally denied, two goals?
I think that's a little harsh on the one in the Tormenta game.
I mean, no, it is harsh on the one in the Tormenta game. It's not his fault. It's just funny because of the fact that
the one time all game, Emmy wasn't offside.
Right? He trips over him and heads it. And I just think, if he wasn't in the way, that goes in the back of the net.
Maybe.
It's hilarious. But Tormenta's second goal that comes in the second half, I think once we went back and looked into it, Tormenta was kind of building up with all that pressure and just, we talked about how they play. It's that ISO of pulling people out of position and whatnot. But then also, I think, Matt, I'll give you the props because you pointed it out, of just how Dakota pretty much didn't track back as much as he should have. He kind of just half-jogged after getting on the throw-in. And if he's there to kind of close down that space or force the Tormenta attacker to kind of go in a different direction, maybe this goal is a little bit different. Maybe it's not a goal at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it didn't track back, just because if you don't have the play right in front of you, it sounds a lot. That makes it sound a lot worse than it is. But he didn't necessarily give help defensively to Payne, and Payne ended up one on one with Bill Hart, and the guy made a nice move, but if you're having a one on one defend in the box, you have to be on your toes a little bit because you don't want to give away a penalty. It's not like if you're 35 yards from goal and the guy pushes it by, you can just chop him and deal with the foul and reset. So I think the idea was bringing in Dakota to be able to deny those opportunities in the first place, and have him and Zaka in a situation where we're going to clog the middle, and middle was not clogged at that point.
No, it wasn't. And I mean, also sometimes you just get beat by a good finish. Like that was a good finish.
That was a good finish.
Yeah.
Another thing is that going back to what I said, that came off of the back of them being in our final third for probably for maybe 5 to 10 minutes before then, like straight, just in our final third. And when that happens time and time for that long, it's almost inevitable that a goal is coming.
Yeah.
And I mean, you called it, that you even said it when it happened. You were like, yeah, that was coming.
Yeah. It's kind of like on FIFA. I'm pretty sure we all had that moment on FIFA where it's like the CPU is just like drilling you in with passes. You're just like, all right, a goal's coming. Like, I can't defend this no more. Like, it just happens. It's just one of those moments. I think rounding out the rest of this game, man, I think getting 4 points out of these two games is a good result. It's a good result. It's the two teams that previously, before these two matches, were ahead of us at the top of the table. You know, we got two more games left in this homestand. But before we move on to the Charleston game, guys, I'm going to ask you guys this. Who do you think is the biggest performer or performers out of these past two games? Like, who's the person that stepped up the most?
I would have to say a combination. I would put two players, Richie and Bryant. Richie really came to life in the Tormenta game. Yes, he missed that chance in the second half, but to see that mobility and how often he overlapped O'Gordon and created some great opportunities, had that cross come in, goalie pop punches it out. And normally you would expect, okay, maybe somebody else, maybe Neil is going to get on the end of this, to rebound it in, or Terzaghi. No, it's Richie who, after crossing the ball, comes inside and follows the play and is there to take the shot. Unfortunately, he misses it, but it's plays like he came to life in that game. And Bryant, of course, his two assists against Chattanooga, and moving the ball around pretty well against Tormenta before he came off. You really saw his control and how great of a number eight he can be.
Yeah. Matt, what about you, my friend?
I mean, I don't know how you don't go with the big men. combined three goals and an assist combined between them, the two games. I don't think either of those goals you can really put on them either. I think it was their midfielders and, outside backs, not keeping up there in the bargain on each of those goals allowed to Tormenta. Played really well. Distribution's gotten a lot better too. I'm not going to lie, didn't love Ani's distribution early in the year, and it's improved quite a bit. Other guy I want to give some love to, because we don't really ever talk about him, Simon Fitch. Came on second half of that North Carolina game, did a job, came in, played left back, for the majority of the Chattanooga game, switched over to right back, for the end of it. He's not a flashy player. He's not, going to be like a Payne or a Rishi and be the guy getting down to the end line and, creating offense. But he didn't put a foot wrong in those games. And again, he's a guy who I wasn't sure about, going into that, but, he's definitely gained some trust over these last couple games, and having somebody who can be a utility player in defense, that's a good option to have it on the bench.
Yeah, no, that's not a bad option. Also, it was real cool. Like, after the Chattanooga game, he came over. He got so much love. Like, after the performance he put in. Because, he put in a really good performance. Like, a really good performance. But for me, guys, I'm going to go Jonathan Bolaños. Like, he just further proves the point to me. Like, he is the metronome of this offense. Like if he's on it, like, it takes the kicker's offense to a whole nother level. It opens up the field. And, I think the only thing missing from this performance, outside of the assist he had, is just a goal. And if he keeps up this level of performance, a goal is coming shortly, very shortly for him. Also, I'll give a shout out as well, Zaka. Like, the last two games, man, he's been on. He's been solid. Like, cutting out any kind of dangerous passes. Really, I think the biggest hindrance I have with Zaka is just sometimes his passing. Like, his passing is a little bit wary, but he's really got better with that and just being better at cutting out fires. Like, he's doing a wonderful job. We'll move on. Charlotte game's coming up on Saturday. Actually, both Charlotte teams are playing. I'm going to see both of them, which is odd.
Of course you are. You're still a fan.
Yeah. Charlotte's last game, 2-0 loss to Greenville, who's, oddly enough, back at top of the table. It just shows you how crazy this league is. But Charlotte, who was at the top of the table, are now sitting tied for first with Greenville, but they're technically second. Last game against them, 2-1 win at their place. Guys, how do you think this result plays out? Who do you think is going to be key in the kickers getting a positive result here?
I think against the Charlotte team, going with the starting lineup that went against Chattanooga, I think we would expose ourselves too much. Going with the lineup where we ended against Tormenta, I think we would be inviting pressure too much. So we need to find that middle ground. We need to find that balance where we're not inviting the other team to come forward, but we're not leaving our back line exposed at the same time. It's a little tricky, but I don't know. I'm really thinking about a midfield three of Neil, Zaka, and Brian, because that'll give you that three-way, that attack to defense balance in the midfield. At the end of the day, on the wings, I'd start Bolaños again. I mean, him coming back completely changed the team. The only thing is, I feel like every time Bolaños is out on the wing, Bryant is starting on the other wing, and which I don't like. I really don't like Bryant out on the wing. I feel that he can do a job out on the wing, but I feel that you're taking away a lot of the potential that you have for him in the middle. I'd be okay with Matt on the other wing. And if we have that kind of core midfield, that midfield five, I should say, kind of sort of, I think we can do a very good job against Charlotte. That back line, keep it the way it is. I mean, they're doing good. Payne, Richie, Ani, and Chrysler, keep it the way it is.
All right. Matt, what about you, my friend?
I mean, I would assume you just roll out in the same line that started against Tormenta, right? Yeah, it seems to work pretty well. You have Bolaños on one side, Baima on the other side. So there's a little imbalance there, but you also get the variety of attack styles then, and I don't think we lose much on the speed side with Baima on the right, because that just leaves a ton of space for Payne to be able to shoot up the alleyway then, so we're still getting guys that can stretch defense down the wing that way. So I think it's, you have those guys, I think it's just a matter of what bench options do you want available and when do you want to use them.
Yeah, no, that's very true. I had no problem rolling out the same lineup. If it's not broke, don't fix it too much, Darren. Like, trust the players, Darren. Trust them. They'll do fine. You don't have to switch it up too much. But yeah, I think the biggest thing against Charlotte, like we know at this point, they're going to play this 3-4-3. They're going to be looking to get it very high up. They're going to leave space in behind. Richmond can exploit that. It's just all about really just having this back four and really that midfield pair. He probably, you know what, honestly, I take that back. He's probably going to go more defensive. It is probably going to be double sixes with Dakota and Zaka. Just, I see your face in there, but the only reason why I think that is just because of how Charlotte is attacking wise. You're going to have to be a little bit more defensive. Like, you can't just leave yourself open because the way how Charlotte can just go at you. But I think if he does that, he needs to either have Bima or either Ethan on that wing opposite of Bolaños. So you at least have another creative partner beside Neil. And it, I'm leaning more towards Ethan. So that's me on that one.
I don't know about Bima on the, well, if you want someone who can cut inside and, you know, an inverted winger on one side and a true winger on the other side, that kind of puts you at an unbalance.
Oh, so, no, I agree with you. I should have cleared this up. I had Bima out on the left, like his natural spot, and then Bolaños on the right. Okay. You can put Bolaños on any wing. He'll do the same thing.
He'll do the same thing on either wing.
Because that's
the thing. If you have Bolaños and Bima, you need to swap them, because if you're going to have an inverted winger, you may as well have two. Because if you have only one inverted winger and a true winger, then that literally shifts your entire attack to that winger side, regardless of the situation. So if you're in that situation, Bima, if he's on the right, you need another inverted winger on the left. I'd put Old Gordon on the left if you have Bima on the right, because then you have two players that want to attack, that want to come inside.
We can wait on Old Gordon. He got to show his loyalty first.
No. I'm saying, like, just in terms of the type of player that they are. Old Gordon needs to show me a little more for him to earn that spot, but you know.
Wayne is currently top contender for new Calvo for Elliot.
Yeah. And that, like, there wasn't be no one that would replace that would replace Calvo. That, oh boy, that was a special time. Not gonna waste too much time on that, but like, it'll be interesting to see how Darren does this lineup. Right now, currently, we are in fifth place, but if you go by points, Matt, the first tiebreaker is goal scored, right? Or goal differential?
First tiebreaker is wins.
Really? Oh, okay. Weird. I would have thought it was goal difference.
No, because that's how, you know, things got really, you know, weird last year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. So, Shinier, that's there you go. So, wins. Huh. So, wins.
Weird. I don't know. MLS does goal differential for tiebreakers, right?
I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's like, if literally, just in terms to remove confusion, why not? What's the harm in just doing it the same way literally everyone else does it?
I don't know. I
mean, you're just confusing the fans
maybe,
now.
Maybe the imbalanced schedule. I don't know. You want to encourage people to go for the win instead of the tie. I don't know.
But another thing that we talked about at the game, me and Elliot, is that when you don't have goal differential as the first tiebreaker, you're not encouraging teams to have high scoring games. You're taking away an element that could add more entertainment to the game. Because a team is up 1-0 and it looks like you can put more in and you're maybe tied for second or something, you're going to go for it. And it's going to make the game more interesting. You're going to go to get that second and third goal. If you smell blood in the water and you feel like you can go for more, you will. But I've noticed, and it's not just Darren, I've noticed that a lot of teams in USL League One, when they go up 1-0 or maybe 2-0, they literally just hunker. You're not going to have many high scoring games because goal differential is not an issue, because it's not your tiebreaker. We want to win. So once we get 1-0 up, shut up shop, park the bus, make sure we get that win under our belt, and that takes away from the entertainment of the game.
And folks, that's why we need Shiner to have good internet so you can do his rant of the week. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. But just to finish what I was saying, we're fifth right now. With that win, we could have been in first place. But we're fifth right now, but tied for third. There's actually like, what, four ties? You got a tie for first, tie for second, tie for third, and I think a tie for fifth place overall, like just how things are in the table. And like,
table is insane.
It is. Like,
but I love it. It's like you got a different top five every week. It's just
even Tucson that's at the bottom is still what, 4 points out of being in the playoffs?
Yeah,
five. But I mean, it's like no different than last year when we were in like what, late July, and I think second place to 11th place were only 2 points apart or something stupid like that.
Yeah. Like, it's insane. But, I mean, even to the point of last year, like, there was a clear, like, you could tell, all right, these are clearly the best two teams.
Yeah, Greenville and
these are the best three. Like, okay. Everyone else is kind of here. And then there was Ford at the very bottom.
Sadly, it wasn't them. It was North Carolina at the bottom. And
right.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
We tried to bring them back.
It's like 10 teams, and there's Tucson, but Tucson is only there because – they probably got the weakest roster build out of everyone, but they're still in it.
And they had a rough start. To be honest with you, Tucson is down there because they have a rough start. You look at our first game of the season against Tucson, like a lot of people would say, oh, no, that was our best performance. We won 4-0. No, that was against a Tucson team that wasn't ready for the season to start. Like, you could tell. So those that
that's team, on them.
I know it's on them, but that's not telling you, like, in general, the general quality of the team. The general quality of the team is at the same level as everyone else. They just had a bad start. Yeah. And because of that, they're still at the bottom points-wise.
Right. Well, gents, I think that about wraps it up for this week. Any last things before we close out this pod?
Oh, nope. Yeah. Charlotte Independence is, I mean, it's a home game. Come out.
Oh, yeah. Let's go. Yeah, most definitely.
Let's fill up the stadium.
Also, support the website. Go to podpage.com. River City 93. Give us about a month. Matt is going to buy the website so we can have rivercity93.com. I put that test on you, Matt. we have a website. We have articles up, guys. We have started doing the top 30 kickers of all time. Number 30 is Braden Troyer, 29. It's coming out very soon, so be on the look for that. Gabe, who's joined the team, he's supposed to be on the show with us tonight, but he couldn't. He's writing pre and post game write-ups. Be on the look for those. Make sure to support those. If you want those to come to your inbox early, so as soon as they're posted, you can get them, go to our website and subscribe. Do that. Help us grow. But with that being said, Matt and Shiner, my name's Yogi. I mean, Elliot. We will holler at you guys later. I know that's not my whole name.